Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Resilient Leadership Podcast, where everything that we talk about is aimed at helping you to lead with a greater sense of calm, clarity, and conviction, even in anxious times. My name is Bridget Tyer, and I am delighted to be joined today, as always, by my good friend and collaborator, Irvin Nugent, who has been traveling the world and has come back to join us for this podcast. Irvin, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bridget. I just got over a nasty cold, one of the gifts I brought back from travels, but I'm feeling so much better today. And it is the beginning of a new year. So happy new year, everyone, as we record this. It's January the 3rd, and we both live in the DC area. And so we're told on a Monday, apparently we'll have 7 inches of snow. So it's going to be a white start to the new year. Hopefully you all had a great holiday period. And, you know, as you go into a new year, I think all of us, it's a reset. And so thank you for joining us and making us part of 2025. So Bridget, I'm curious, looking forward to this conversation we're going to have today. So why don't you tee it up and tell our listeners a little bit more?
All right. Well, today's topic is what we're calling taming your triggers. It's a lifelong journey. It's not a one and done. And it's a journey towards greater equanimity in our day and towards less stress and less reactivity. And who doesn't want that, right?
Absolutely.
And so maybe a good place to start, Irvin, is what is a trigger? And a trigger is a person, a incident, a situation that provokes an automatic reaction from us, accompanied by an instantaneous physiological reaction, which is known as the stress response. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. And here's the thing. Every human being gets triggered from time to time. I do. You do. In fact, if you have a beating heart, and if you're listening to this podcast, that means you do, then you get triggered. Now, how you get triggered, by whom, in what situations, and how you react is unique to you. But all humans share this experience of being triggered. And there's a reason for that. And that's because it's an evolutionary mechanism. It's really right designed to keep us safe and designed to help us detect threats and respond to them. But here's the thing. Sometimes this sophisticated threat detection system sounds the alarm bells and gets it wrong. And that can lead us astray. But here's the good news. Bottom line. We really can, through repeated practice, learn to better manage our triggers, respond to them differently. And, you know, when we do and as we do, we can lead with much more calm. We can forge, I think, stronger connections with people. And as I said just a minute ago, we can lower our stress levels. So that's the very, very good news. And we're going to talk, of course, all about how do you do that? I do want to say, Irvin, and I think you'll agree with me, it's easier said than done.
I agree with that.
Right? Yes. It's not like, hey, listen to this podcast and you'll be fixed with your triggers.
Yep.
But with repeated practice, so much progress can be made. So let's dive in. And today, as we often do, Irvin, I'm going to ask you to kick it off with some neuroscience to help us understand, you know, what the heck is going on inside our brains and our bodies when we're triggered.
Yeah. All of us have to deal with stressful incidents in our lives. And sometimes those stressful incidents are environmental. So some of us get triggered with unexpected traffic, especially if we're trying to get to someplace. I get triggered sometimes by printers that don't work and I don't understand and I just get all worked up. So these are environmental, but there's also psychological ones, like, for example, uncomfortable conversations or tensions. My God, we've just gone through the holiday period and sometimes that can be some of the most uncomfortable times because there's tension sometimes with other people, family members, or, you know, work with the boss. So all of these, what happens is they trigger this cascade of hormones, stress hormones. And what's the impact of that? Why is that important? Because it creates physiological changes in our body. And we know this. Think about it. You know, just think, let's go back to the traffic jam. You're there. You have to get someplace at 9:30. And all of a sudden, the ETA is rising and rising and rising and rising. So your heart begins to pound. You're breathing a little quicker. You're becoming more tense. And it's this energy, you know, it's this flood of energy that's happening. And sometimes we're aware you know, we feel, and other times it's there. And all of a sudden, you know, we become aware of it and like, oh my God, you know, my whole physiology is changing. And of course, you know, this is commonly called, and most people have heard of this, fight or flight. Because as you said at the beginning, it's all about our survival. And you were created as human beings to survive. And so this enabled us, what was the gift? This enabled us without much thinking to respond to a life-threatening situation, kept us alive. And so this is all very orchestrated. It's almost instantaneous that all these responses, and so that we can fight or we can flee away, you know, kind of run away to safety. So here's the problem. You just mentioned this as well, is that we can kind of overreact. Just think about it. If you're in a traffic jam and you arrive half an hour late, it's really not life-threatening. It's a home, but it's not going to kill you. Yeah. And so the problem is that the body really doesn't do a great job, the brain, of distinguishing these events. And so we get into these fight or flight responses really for events that are more annoying really than life-threatening. Bridget, I'm curious, can you think of a time when you were recently triggered and felt kind of that flood of energy or emotion in your body?
Yes, I can. Mm. I'm not particularly proud of it, but okay. I will share the example. But the backdrop is really important because it happened, just a few days ago. But after my husband and I have hosted both Thanksgiving and Christmas with lots of people staying in our home, lots of grandkids, lots of chaos, you know, beautiful chaos, but lots of cooking and cleaning and people getting sick and whatnot, right? So we went out to dinner, just the two of us, and we were noting how tired we were, but we were happy and feeling good to just be out by ourselves, you know, and we had a lovely conversation until he said something. He made a comment about a family member. As soon as this comment was made about a family member, and it wasn't particularly, you know, bad, it just, I could tell it immediately triggered me. And you know, Irvin, how you talked about that flood of energy?
Yeah.
I could feel it rising up in my chest. It was so quick. And I got defensive. And I immediately began defending this family member. And actually, I started interrupting him. Like he could not finish a sentence because I was pouncing in. And I could feel my breathing, you know, and of course I knew what was happening. Intellectually, I knew I was being triggered and I knew I was interrupting him, but I couldn't stop it, you know? And so, you know, we finished and it wasn't like a great end to the dinner. What I remember is that after I got a little space from it, I was able to, you know, get on the balcony, as we say, and kind of look at what had happened. Why had I been triggered?
Yeah.
And I think what I was reminded of is that when we are exhausted, when our bandwidth has been stretched thin, our ability to manage our triggers is impacted by that, mm-hmm. right? And so it just reminds us, oh boy, is it important to take care of ourselves?
Yeah.
Because we aren't robots.
Yeah.
We're human beings, yeah. right? But yeah, that flood of emotion and energy. And then my instantaneous reactive behavior to just start interrupting, right? I was like, wow. So that's one of the things I do when I get triggered. Interesting.
Mm.
Yeah. So Irvin, I'd love to hear a little bit more about, so what was going on physiologically in my brain and my nervous system in that incident?
So it's really interesting. There's two parts of the brain that are involved in both your reaction and all of our trigger reactions. And we've mentioned both of these in former episodes, but let's revisit them again. One area is called the amygdala, and the amygdala is, of course, the center of emotional processing. And the second then is the hypothalamus, and the hypothalamus is kind of like the command center of the brain. So what happens, of course, is that this incident, for you, it was a comment, it could be an oncoming car, it could be, you know, whatever it is. And so our eyes and our ears are taking in data, and that data goes to the amygdala. And that's, of course, where we do the emotional processing. And of course, the amygdala is interpreting these images and sound. It's kind of like a little radar. Is there anything threat? Am I perceiving danger? And as soon as it perceives danger, it kind of goes ding, 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 danger. And then it goes to the hypothalamus, which is the command center, saying, oh, there's danger. Now, perceive danger is the word I use. And that's really important because the amygdala, look at the comment there. You perceived a comment and you went into this reaction. The comment, of course, was not life-threatening, but there was a threatening in that it was taken in a way, and so the body reacted. And what happens, of course, is then when that warning is rung, the hypothalamus activates a part of our nervous system to deal with it, and that part is called the sympathetic nervous system. Now, I remember when I was learning about this, I always thought, well, you know, sympathetic sounds like, you know, it's nice and relaxed and rest. But really, you know, what sympathetic means here is it's more the body's working in a symphony. It's actually bringing everything together to respond. And so in this case, what's happening is, of course, all these hormones are released, and then we get these physiological changes. So we mentioned about the blood pressure going up, and that's what happened. Blood is pushed out to help us respond. Either we're going to fight or flee. And so it goes to our muscles, our heart, and the organs. We begin to experience changes in our breathing pattern. Our lungs are going to take in more oxygen so that we're ready to respond. And so all of these, there's more adrenaline in our eyes because we're kind of looking, where is the threat? So all of this is this beautiful symphony that is a response that we have over evolution learned to protect ourselves. And it's this burst of energy. And of course, this is instantaneous. Very often, this is by the time we are aware. Like, so sometimes, you know, we kind of like, you know, when we're in a kind of a triggered moment, we kind of feel that our fist is gripped, you know, and it's like, oh, and so this has all happened without us even being aware. And so that's why, you know, at times this can be helpful. So in other words, you know, if a car is coming towards us and we want to jump out of its path, it just happens. Yeah. And then if you say to a person, well, what did you do? And they said, well, I don't know. I just responded. The body responds. And so it's very adaptive. It saved our lives. However, it can also get us into a little bit of trouble. So Bridget, anything you want to add here?
Well, what a great description, because when you said adrenaline, I could really feel that adrenaline coursing through, right?
Yeah.
And of course, I didn't choose that. It just happened. Mm. But I think that a really great thing to understand is that the autonomic nervous system has two components. It has that sympathetic nervous system, which I agree with you is sort of, it was confusing to me the way it was named, right?
Yeah.
But I understand it now a lot better. But it also has the parasympathetic nervous system. So the sympathetic nervous system is kind of like the gas pedal. It revs us up, right?
Yep,
it gets us ready to fight or flee.
Yeah.
But we also have a brake pedal.
Yeah.
And isn't that great to know? Yeah. And this parasympathetic nervous system calms us and promotes the rest and digest process in our body. So the beauty of understanding this, at least for me, is that I recognize that there are certain practices that I can engage in that help me to not allow the intensity of the sympathetic nervous system to be triggered so often, and also to activate that parasympathetic nervous system through practices like breathing. I mean, it is amazing now that research is so clear that simply using the breath deliberately, mindfully, deeply activates the parasympathetic nervous system, the brake pedal, and calms us down. Other, you know, activities like exercise and centering and mindfulness and so forth. So that's, to me, so helpful to realize that we have more choice than we sometimes realize, even though, of course, as you described, all of this happens instantaneously.
Yeah.
And yet there's so much we can do
to
manage this process.
Yeah.
And that gives me actually a lot of encouragement.
I think so too. Yeah, there is, this is, we are not doomed to our reactive tendencies. We can, as human beings, have a little more choice. And with that in mind, then, let's just explore that a little bit, Bridget. So, like, have you any ideas of how you might start kind of going down this path of, you know, kind of the title is called Taming Our Triggers? How might we tame some of these triggers? But I don't think the objective here is not to stop the triggers. We can't do that. That's part of being human. But we can tame them. So what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, the first step towards changing any behavior pattern that we have is to become a curious observer, you know, of that pattern, right? So, you know, this means to notice it without judgment and with a lot of curiosity, kind of like an anthropologist does when they're studying an ancient civilization. Only you're studying your own behavior, right? With curiosity. And so if you want to tame your triggers, what do you observe? Well, first and foremost, you start by noticing who and what triggers you specifically and concretely, right? Because what triggers me is not always going to be the same thing that triggers you. Yeah. And as leaders, you know, there are certain things that can trigger leaders, right? So do certain employees tend to provoke you more so than others, or do certain behaviors really get under your skin? And if you can identify with some real specificity, you know, what those triggers are, you can be on the lookout for them. You can anticipate it, right? You can be, instead of being caught completely unawares, you're sort of a little bit more prepared. Hmm. All right. So let me share a few triggers that leaders have, when I've worked with them on this, what they've told me triggers them. And then, you know, I'm going to be real curious if it sounds similar to what your clients have shared with you, Irvin. But here's a couple. Someone questioning their authority or their expertise.
Yep.
You hear that, Irvin?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I especially, like, I work with some organizations with academics, et cetera, and that becomes a real, you know, kind of that ability, authority, and then being questioned is very powerful.
Oh, I would definitely see it in an academic setting.
Yeah.
And so it can be either our expertise that's been questioned or our authority.
Yeah,
to
absolutely. Yeah.
I think being left out of the loop on important communications, it's a big one.
Yeah.
How about having your status dinged in some way? You know, where let's say you went for a promotion, you didn't get it, or you got a less than stellar performance review when you've been a rock star. That can be really triggering. Here's a big one that I've heard from many of my clients: feeling disrespected in a meeting by a peer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then getting hit with an unreasonable deadline, let's say from a client that's like not really negotiable, and it's going to like really wreck your month or something like that. Yeah. Those sound familiar to you, Irvin?
Very much so. Yeah. In fact, it's funny. I was talking to a client just before the holiday break, and she had just received her annual review and was very shocked that there was two items there that had never been talked about. And she was very alarmed by them, and they had dinged, you know, kind of, it was a really a black mark, and very triggering, very triggering. And in fact, the more she talked about it during the coaching conversation, you could just feel the triggering happening again, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So that kind of almost like the unexpected as well can be, with the ding, can be powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't it interesting? Because when we retell it, it's almost like the physiological response comes back.
Yep. Yeah.
And then I think, of course, we can be triggered on the home front, right? So any human system that we're part of in relationships, right? And so some of our listeners may feel like they're not as triggered at work, but they are triggered at home, or vice versa. But some of the triggers on the home front that clients, you know, have shared with me, not too dissimilar from what we just discussed, but I think not feeling valued or appreciated by your partner, or if you have children or whatever, for the work that you do, having your opinion or your feelings dismissed, you know, like, oh, you shouldn't feel that way. Being interrupted, like I did with my husband, that's no fun.
Yeah.
Someone not really listening to you, not being present.
Yeah.
And I think feeling judged.
Yeah.
You know, feeling critiqued. Those ring true for you, Irvin?
Very much so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone takes me lightly, or I feel I'm trying to say something important and the person's just really not paying attention. Yeah. And absolutely get very triggered.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure our listeners are nodding their heads like, yeah, me too. Right.
Yeah.
So again, we're observing who and what triggers us. That's important. Mm-hmm. But there's another part of this, which is then how do we react?
Right.
What is our automatic, a knee-jerk reaction that we do without thinking? It's instantaneous. Yeah. And of course, everybody's heard about the fight or flight, right? But there's really fight, flight, freeze, or appease. Those are kind of, I think, helpful categories, right? So fight. So do you tend to become frustrated and combative when you're triggered? Perhaps. Flight. Maybe you distance yourself. Maybe you avoid contact and engagement. You sort of just disappear. Or maybe you freeze. You tend to mask your reaction and you shut down and you don't do anything. And appease. I bet some of our listeners have that in their repertoire, where They tend to smooth things over quickly, right? Let's tamp things down. Let's get things back to, you know, sort of a peace at any cost thing. And of course, we're all capable of doing all of those things. The key here is to get in touch with what is your default? You know, what do you tend to do? And to get more specific about it. Like my discovery that I start interrupting people when I get triggered. And that's actually kind of a form of the fight response. It's a low-grade combative response. I'm really not very combative, but see, I can become my own version of that, right? So, Irvin, when you were leading a team of people, do you remember what triggered you and then like how you tended to react as a leader when you were triggered?
Yeah, it's interesting. So I think the first thing that I just want to back up to is the incredible importance of observation. So kind of this observation's key. So I started to become aware of patterns. So one of my patterns triggering is conflict. Conflict is very triggering for me, and it really is the perception that there will be conflict. And so actually, if I'm in the conflict, I do quite well, but it was this, I'm conflict averse. So it was like, I would say there was an uncomfortable conversation or say there was a team discussion and someone said something, there was this decision, do I say something? And if I say something, it's going to annoy them, et cetera. And so my trigger therefore is very much the flight. And of course, you know, people can think of flight as leaving the room or running away. But flight can be, you can be totally present in the situation and just shut down a little bit and choose not to say anything. And so it's this avoiding the contact, avoiding the engagement. And, you know, or other times as well, like as a leader, I've made some poor decisions where I've said, you know, there is something going on. I said, it'll pass, which really is a flight. It's really not dealing with the situation, being triggered by that. Now, that's interesting. And then there's another pattern within me that, however, when I see two people, and one person is either being cruel or picking on another person or just saying something nasty to a person, that brings out the fight in me. Mm. I tend then to become much more kind of moving away. I move in. I can become rather combative, and I can get very sarcastic and mean in the comment to the person who I feel is being unfair. And so that's a trigger as well, which is interesting, you know, kind of, and which is kind of an over, you know, reaction as well.
And did it over time, or has it over time helped you to really notice these patterns?
It really has, because then I have learned now to really question, why am I not saying something? What's going on here? Mm-hmm. And it's the balance. And I can feel, you know, you can begin to feel some of that energy, you know, build as it's happening in the moment. That then for me has become a signal. Okay, I need to question what's happening here.
Oh, I love that. And I think it's really important, your example about how we can shut down and essentially be fleeing, but be very physically present and looking at it, you know, being in a meeting. Because I've worked with a lot of leaders who say, oh, nobody knows if I get triggered. Like I'm very calm on the outside. Yeah. I beg to differ. Yeah. We usually can tell. We usually can detect.
Yes.
If somebody has shut down.
Yes.
We might not be able to pinpoint exactly in the moment, but we read bodies so well.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah. I remember like working with a client, and she was in a meeting where someone spoke over her and was very triggering. And so what happened was, you know, that would happen. And then for the rest of the meeting, her contribution was pretty zero. And it was her, you know, kind of the flight, you know, kind of, but she was present there, but you could just see that participation, the triggering had impacted her participation.
I love that. You know, I was talking to a client the other day and they shared something with me that I thought was great, which is that they said that now when they get triggered, depending on if it's like personal, you know, at home or like in a meeting, let's say it's in a meeting, in your example, getting talked over. They say to themselves, I can feel myself getting triggered. Let me take a few deep breaths here. Mm-hmm. Right? They say that to themselves and it's helpful. Mm-hmm. But when they're in conversation, let's say with somebody, maybe a spouse or partner, they'll say that loud. I can feel myself getting triggered here. Mm-hmm. Let me take a moment. Let me take a beat here. And they might go get a drink of water or something. And I loved that. I thought that was, you know, quite brilliant. All right. So clearly the first step is to be this curious observer of who and what triggers us under what circumstances, and then how do we react in particular, like you shared, Irvin, mm-hmm. the patterns of our automatic reactivity to become well acquainted with them.
Yeah.
That already does a lot because what you observe with curiosity, you get distance from, right? You get some space around it. But what else is needed to tame our triggers, Irvin?
So first of all, I think what we have to we have to learn to interrupt the pattern. And of course, because so much of the stress response is based on physiology, it is therefore befriending our physiological response and becoming more aware of it. You know, there's a lovely saying, James Joyce, the Irish, great Irish literary genius, in one of his books has this line, Mr. Duffy lived a short distance from his body. And I love that because so often we are not in touch with our bodies. And here in this particular realm of triggers and befriending triggers and becoming more aware, it is essential for us to become more in touch with our bodies because the earlier we are able to realize that, oh, I'm feeling my heart here. And I can feel I'm breathing or I'm sweating or I'm clenching or my muscles are tight. The earlier we can detect that, then the easier it is to then interrupt that and to help us kind of return to a calmer level where we're able to make more thoughtful responses. And so we talked about the sympathetic nervous system, and part of that parasympathetic nervous system is taking the foot off the pedal.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned before, you know, breathing is absolutely essential here. And there's, you know, kind of being able to take some mindful breaths. But, you know, I'm trying to think of a client, and it's really interesting. I'm thinking of a client a while back. She was in a meeting and there was another person there. And there was an interesting case because she said to me, you know, I wish he had done something really nasty, but he hadn't. But he just annoys me and he triggers me. And I don't know why. And I said, well, it's the voice, it's something. And when he speaks, I just get triggered. I want to kind of, you know, fight, you know, become. And it's so interesting. Now, of course, we talked a little bit about that this was a pattern in the past. But in this situation, we were like, well, then, and she said, I don't want to show up like that at the meeting. And so then I said, well, so first of all, the first thing that in this situation, there's an observation of a pattern. So that this is a meeting where this person is there, their voice is not going to change. They're still going to annoy you. And then the second thing then is, so can we then begin to feel in our body the response happening as it's happening? And so one of the things that she noticed there just was a tension and she just, you know, and kind of she could feel herself physically almost moving in, that there was, you know, a movement as well. And so I said, well, then how might we physiologically change that? And so what she tried to do was kind of, as soon as she kind of the tension was to kind of just actually just kind of relax a little bit in the tension, notice that, to breathe a little bit more. And then what she found very useful as well was resetting her posture. So it was kind of like just noticing, am I moved a little forward? So can I move a little bit back and just kind of relax again? And just that awareness of where she was really helpful. And then it enabled a little bit of time for her, like, how do I want my response to be? Can my response be a little more thoughtful?
Mm.
And that was part of that interrupting kind of the pattern.
Yes. That is really neat. So her way of interrupting the pattern was through the body and to notice the posture and the shape of the body and to change that.
Yes.
Which then led to her being able to speak more thoughtfully.
Yes.
Oh, that's really great. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, we have to interrupt the pattern if we want something different to occur, right? And sometimes the quickest way to change is through the body.
Yeah.
I love that. That's such a great example.
Can you think of an example, Bridget? Anything come to mind for you?
Well, I've had many clients bring this challenge to coaching sessions, but I'm actually going to cite a different example. And I think I've mentioned this on one of our episodes, our mini episodes, which is it's been really fun to watch my husband's journey to tame his triggers. He's done a really amazing job over the years of really becoming less annoyed. You know, you talked about your client being annoyed, right?
Yeah.
And so he just kind of noticed that he was easily annoyed by things people said, and he didn't want to be that way anymore.
Yeah.
And he practices stoicism, that really helps him. But specifically how he interrupted the pattern is this, that he said, you know, what I started practicing is that when someone said or did something that annoyed me, I assumed positive intent and I practice unconditional positive regard. Because in the past, he assumed that they were negative, or he assumed that they were out to make his day miserable, or he assumed, you know, if someone cut him off in traffic, he assumed the person was, you know, a jerk.
Yep.
But then he started practicing, well, maybe that person is having a really bad day. And they've cut me off in traffic because they're going through a divorce and they're thinking about the divorce and they're not being mindful, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And so that really was the beginning of interrupting the pattern for him. Because when he assumed positive intent, which is a lot about challenging your assumptions, isn't it?
Yeah.
About the other person.
Yep. Yeah.
That really helped him immensely.
Yeah, I love that. Because so often, that's easy, you know, because not that it's easy to do, but what I love about that example is that it's catching that thought pattern. You know, there's kind of this automatic thought pattern, and it's like, oh, is there something else? Is there another interpretation of this? Love that. Mm-hmm. So we always end with a practice. Bridget, what comes to your mind?
Yes. So today's practice is called Hit the Pause Button. Here's how it works. So the next time somebody says or does something that triggers you, and hopefully you'll be on the lookout for it, use your imagination, right? And you imagine that you are holding a remote control in your pocket. And you can literally hit the pause button on it. And when you do, it gives you a few seconds to slow things down. And in that pause, you take a couple of mindful breaths, right? And you ask yourself a couple of questions. The first one is, what am I assuming right now about this person or this situation? Like my husband, I'm assuming they're a jerk. Well, maybe not. Secondly, all right, what emotion am I feeling right now? What am I really angry? Am I frustrated? You know, what's going on and how is this emotion going to impact my actions if I let it drive my behavior? And what's the result I want here in this interaction?
Right?
And it sounds like, boy, how could we do that in a few seconds? But we can. We can slow things down through the breath and through just pausing for a moment. And you can just pick one of those questions to ask yourself. And just that interrupts the pattern, because that's what we're after, right? Interrupting the pattern. I want to acknowledge my colleague, Heather Jelks, who I co-wrote a book with, you know, called Missing Conversations, because we have a chapter in that book that she wrote called The Triggers Conversation. And I was inspired to pick this practice, hit the pause button, from that chapter. And one other resource to note, which is that in the Resilient Leadership 2.0 Revised and Expanded Edition book that a lot of our listeners know about, but some of you may not. In that revised and expanded edition, you know, my colleague, Bob Duggan, and I actually came up with a Tame Your Triggers worksheet. And that's in the appendix. And so for those of you who are listening to this and are like, man, you like to write things down and you like a worksheet kind of a thing, that's a resource for you folks.
So, love it. Well, I love that. I love those questions. I think they're so powerful. And I love this idea of the remote control, you know, kind of, it's such a visual, which I really like that. Yeah. I could actually see having a little remote control on my desk, kind of like, you know, a little button, a little pause button. So, well, Bridget, thank you so much. This has been such a really fascinating discussion, and I kind of want to revisit some of my triggers as well. And hopefully for our listeners as well, that's been food for thought. And we invite you to kind of explore as well what's happening in the world of your triggers and where you might hit the button. So, but thank you so much. I appreciate it and look forward to our next episode and our conversation.
Take care, everybody.
Bye now.